Lena felt the shift the moment she stepped into the open office. Eyes tracked her, then slid away. She didn't know why. All she had done was follow Calder's instructions and walk straight to his door. The CEO didn't wait for her to settle. He waved her in, closed the space, and pushed a stack of unsigned contracts toward her with a quiet order to handle them fast. When she stepped back out, the room was colder. A manager paused mid-sentence. Another tightened his grip on a mug. Someone whispered her name, like a warning. By the afternoon, a message from HR hit her inbox. Short, formal, mandatory interview. She read it twice. She looked around the office and saw the same steady glances, sharp and narrow. Whatever she had walked into wasn't small. It carried weight, it carried heat, and it was already moving under her feet. Chapter 1, The Shift in the Room. Lena reached the office at 7:53 a.m. The lights were already on. The place carried the quiet tension of a team that worked hard but trusted little. She scanned her badge, felt the latch click, and stepped inside. The air was cool. Desks lined in tight rows. People already hunched over monitors. No one looked up at first. Then one person did. Then another. A slow chain of recognition. She felt it land on her skin. She was the new admin, hired fast, and placed straight under Calder. Few people earned that. Most fought through layers for a chance to get close to the top floor. She hadn't asked for it. She had only followed the offer written in her contract. But the room didn't see that. They saw something else. She caught a stare from a woman near the printer, a narrow look, hard to read. She nodded a polite hello. The woman turned back to her screen. Lena made her way to her assigned station, dropped her bag, and opened her laptop. Her first task was simple. Check for messages from Calder. He sent concise orders, never more than a few lines. She found one waiting for her. Come in, bring a notepad. She felt a quiet pulse in her throat. She stood, straightened her shirt, and walked toward his glass door. Calder was on a call. He spotted her through the glass and gave a small gesture. Wait. She paused by the door. The call ended fast. He pushed the phone aside. He didn't smile. He spoke the way people speak when time is tight. Good. I need these processed. He slid a stack of contracts toward her. No delays. Handle them now. She nodded. Yes, sir. He leaned back. The light above his desk caught the edge of his jaw. Sharp. Focused. He had the type of presence that filled a room and pulled attention. He didn't lower his voice when he spoke again. You'll be doing more direct work for me. If anyone asks, tell them to run it through me first. Yes, sir. That includes department heads. She felt that line hit her harder than the rest. She kept her posture steady. He waved her off. That was the end of the meeting. When she stepped back into the open office, everything slowed. A manager near the copier paused mid-sentence. Two analysts exchanged a look. Someone whispered. She didn't catch the words. She didn't have to. She walked to her desk with the stack in hand, feeling the pressure follow her like heat. By 9:15 a.m., the whispers had grown legs. She heard her name slip behind conversations that stopped when she passed. People didn't bother to hide it. A senior coordinator, Thomas, approached her desk with a tight jaw. "You need approval from me before touching those," he said. "Calder told me to process them." He didn't blink. "He usually routes that through my desk. He told me to handle it now, directly." Thomas pressed his tongue to the side of his cheek. "Fine, do what he said." He walked off without another word. She felt the shake in her hands only after he left. She steadied them under the desk and kept working. At 10:30 a.m., another task came in. Direct instructions. No copy to any supervisor. She printed the forms, carried them to the executive wing, and placed them on Calder's secondary desk. When she returned, the atmosphere had shifted again, this time colder. A small cluster of staff near the break area grew quiet as she approached. One of them, a man she hadn't met yet, muttered something under his breath. She caught only one word, favorite. She ignored it. She sat and kept her hands busy. By 11:10 a.m., the first message from HR appeared. Routine tone. A reminder to complete her onboarding survey. She checked it off fast. She didn't think much of it. Not yet. Her phone buzzed at 11:30. A short text from Calder, meeting at noon. Bring updated figures. She moved quickly, printed the sheets, reviewed the numbers twice. At 11:58, she reached the door again. The same eyes followed her. She didn't turn back. Inside, Calder spoke with the controlled edge of someone who rarely explained himself. He signed off on the sheets, asked her for a summary of the morning tasks, and approved her next steps without hesitation. She felt the weight of the room outside more than she felt his words. Something was building. She could sense it through the glass. At 12:30, she left for a short break. The hallway echoed with low conversations. When she reached the kitchen area, silence hit her. A small group of employees stirred their coffee without looking at her. She poured water and stood to the side. She heard a whisper, another, her name again. She set the cup down and walked out before the tension cracked through her voice. The afternoon grew heavier. At 2:17 p.m., a senior HR officer walked through the office holding a thin folder. People tracked her path. She didn't stop at anyone's desk. She slipped into a private room and shut the door. 10 minutes later, she walked out without the folder. Lena kept typing, pretending she didn't see the glances. At 3:06 p.m., her inbox chimed. HR. Not a survey, not a reminder, a meeting request with a subject line that tightened her chest. Workplace concern. Mandatory interview, tomorrow at 8:15. She read the email twice. The wording carried the tone of a process already in motion. She looked around the office. The glances weren't curious anymore. They were set. Firm. People who believed they saw something and had already decided what it meant. She breathed slow. Once. Twice. Then closed the message. At 3:42 p.m., Thomas passed by her desk again. He dropped a file into her tray with more force than needed. You should be careful, he said. About what? He didn't answer. He walked off, leaving the warning hanging in the air. Lena worked until 4:58. She filed the last document, locked her screen, and collected her things. The room remained tense. No one said goodbye. No one looked up. She reached the elevator and pressed the button. The doors opened slow. She stepped inside, alone. As the elevator closed, she checked her inbox one last time. The HR meeting reminder flashed at the top. She felt the weight of tomorrow settle on her shoulders. The elevator dropped to the ground floor. The doors slid open. Chapter 2, The Walls Close In. Lena woke before her alarm. The room was dark. Her chest felt tight, as if the air had thickened overnight. She lay still for a moment, listening to the small sounds of the building waking. Pipes. A car horn in the distance. Her mind went straight to the meeting. 8:15. HR. Workplace concern. Mandatory. She dressed in clean lines. Nothing flashy. Nothing that could be read as an attempt to impress anyone. Neutral colors. Simple shoes. On the train, she watched her reflection rattle in the window. Jaw set. Eyes tired. A stranger who already looked like she was on the defensive. She reached the building at 7:44 a.m. The lobby lights burned bright against the early dull sky. Security greeted her with a nod that felt shorter than yesterday. No small talk. No shared human moment. She scanned in and rode the elevator up, feeling each floor count like pressure climbing her spine. The HR office sat on the 9th floor. Quiet carpet. Neutral art. A place designed to look calm while it held the weight of everyone else's problems. She arrived 3 minutes early. The HR officer, Miss Parker, opened the door exactly on time. No smile, just a professional curve at the edge of her mouth. Lena, come in. Lena stepped inside. The room was neat, two chairs, a small table with a recorder she did not ignore, a closed laptop, a folder that sat directly in front of Miss Parker. This is a standard interview, Miss Parker said. I want you to understand that from the start, you are not under investigation. We are reviewing a concern that involves your role. Lena nodded. I understand. I will ask direct questions. Answer clearly. If you do not know the answer, say you do not know. Do not guess. Lena folded her hands in her lap to keep them from shaking. All right. Miss Parker pressed a button on the recorder. A soft red light glowed. State your full name and position. Lena did. How long have you been in your current role under Mr. Calder? 3 weeks. In that time, how often have you had direct, one-on-one meetings with him? Most days, Lena said, sometimes more than once. Describe the nature of those meetings. Work, he gives me instructions, reviews documents, signs contracts, asks for follow-up on schedules or calls. Any personal conversations? Lena thought through each moment, each exchange. Short comments, she said, weather, workload, nothing that felt personal. Has he ever invited you to meet outside office hours for work-related matters? Yes, once. He asked me to join a late call in the conference room when a client was in a different time zone. It was after 6. Was anyone else present? Yes, 2 senior managers were there. Ms. Parker took brief notes. Her tone stayed flat. Has he ever touched you in a way that made you uncomfortable? No. Has he made comments about your appearance? He said I looked professional my first day. That is all I remember. Parker watched her for a second longer than felt normal, as if she was measuring more than words. Then she shifted. I'm going to read an allegation. It is still an allegation. It has not been proven. You understand? Yes, there is a complaint that suggests you receive favored treatment, direct access, shielding from normal approval channels. The complainant believes this could be due to a personal relationship rather than performance. Do you have any comment on that? I do my work, Lena said. Her voice sounded smaller than she wanted. She forced it steady. He sends tasks. I complete them. I did not set the structure. He did. Do you believe you are treated differently than other admins? I do not know how he handles other admins. I only see my own tasks. Have coworkers said anything to you directly about this idea of favoritism? One person told me to be careful. No one else has said it to my face. Who told you to be careful? Thomas, senior coordinator. Parker wrote his name down in clean letters. Has Mr. Calder ever instructed you to bypass standard approval processes? He told me to bring contracts straight to him. He did not explain why. I assumed he wanted to move faster. Parker closed the folder. She let a short silence fill the room. Do you feel safe in your position right now? Lena hesitated. The honest answer was a rough weight in her throat. I feel watched, she said. Parker nodded once. This interview will be stored as part of the review, she said. At this stage, no conclusions have been reached. Other staff are being interviewed as well. Do you have any questions? Am I at risk of losing my job? That is not a decision in front of us today, Parker answered. If that changes, you will be informed. The words were crafted to say nothing and everything at once. The meeting ended. No handshake. Lena stepped out into the 9th floor corridor with her pulse beating fast in her ears. By 8:32 a.m., she was back at her desk. The office buzzed at a lower tone, like a machine running hot. She saw Thomas in a corner room with another HR representative. His jaw was tight, hands moving as he spoke. He did not look in her direction. Messages began to ripple through the network. Meeting alerts, calendar blocks labeled with careful, neutral phrases. Staff check-in. She watched names populate those invites. People who barely spoke to her now pulled into quiet rooms. Around 9:15, she felt the freeze shift from soft to sharp. A coworker named Alicia, who had been polite during her first week, walked past without a glance. Another, Justin, moved his chair slightly when Lena approached the shared printer, creating a physical barrier that did not need words. At 9:40 a.m., a new message came through from Calder. Short as always. Need those updated vendor figures by 11. Drop them on my desk. No copy to anyone else. She stared at the screen. Sending work straight to him felt like walking deeper into the same accusation. Refusing would raise another. She pulled the data anyway. She checked each line twice, then printed the pages. On her way to the executive wing, she caught the shadow of someone stepping out of a side corridor as she passed. She turned her head. The hallway was empty again. Only the sound of the air system and her own footsteps. When she reached Calder's door, it was half open. He sat at his desk, speaking into a headset. He motioned for her to leave the papers on the side table. She did, keeping her eyes forward. On her way out, she heard only a fragment of his call. Yes, I am aware of HR's timeline. The door clicked lightly behind her. By 10:20, the interviews started to echo back in small ways. She saw faces come out of rooms with new lines pulled tight around their mouths. A pair of analysts avoided meeting her eyes completely. Another manager greeted her with a smile that felt too bright, like a mask prepared in advance. The second complaint dropped at 10:57 a.m. She did not see it filed. She only felt the impact when Ms. Parker appeared again on the floor, this time with a taller man from the legal department. They moved from desk to desk, calling people aside. The air thinned. Laughter disappeared completely. At 11:23, Lena received a brief update from HR, an internal note. Another allegation had been received. it referred to boundary issues and perceived intimacy between her and Calder. The note stated clearly that these were allegations, not findings. It also stated that further interviews would proceed. She read the words slowly. Perceived intimacy. The phrase felt like someone had taken scenes from her workday and twisted them just out of shape. Meetings, instructions, short texts about schedules, nothing more. Yet now it carried a new frame. One that implied something she did not recognize as her own life. Her email pinged again. A calendar alert. A follow-up interview scheduled for the next day. She closed her eyes for a moment, then opened them to the glow of her monitor and the silent pressure of the room. By lunchtime, she sat alone at a table near the windows. The rest of the staff seemed to group themselves in tight circles, backs half-turned, voices lowered. She caught only scraps of talk. Policy, professional boundaries, HR. No one used names. They did not have to. Justin passed behind her chair and lowered his voice just enough that she could still hear. "Told you it would blow up," he said to someone. "You do not get that kind of access for nothing." Her hand tightened around her fork. She did not turn around. She finished her food in small forced bites and left the room before the taste turned to ash. The afternoon stretched in long, tense hours. She focused on tasks that kept her eyes on the screen. Data entry, scheduling, sorting files. At 2:05 p.m., she received a new set of instructions from Calder. He wanted a summary of contract delays and a list of department heads who had pushed back in the last quarter. She worked through the numbers. The list of names was longer than she expected. Some of them belonged to people who had watched her with the coldest eyes since she arrived. She prepared the summary and sent a notice that it was ready. He replied with one word. Leave. She printed the report at 3:10. The office was oddly quiet. Too much silence in a room that usually carried ringing phones and keys tapping. She stepped away from her desk, feeling every movement tracked. She returned 5 minutes later and stopped. Someone had been at her station. She knew it by the way her chair sat at a slightly different angle. The keyboard nudged forward, a hairline shift in the stack of sticky notes she kept at the side. On her chair lay a single piece of paper. She picked it up. No message written. No threat spelled out. Just an image. A printed screenshot of a message thread between her and Calder. The timestamps showed late evening. The text looked clinical. Schedule clarifications. A request from him for an early report. Her reply confirming she would have it ready. Nothing more. Yet seeing it there, stripped out of context, laid on her chair like evidence, made her stomach drop. Someone had accessed internal messages, pulled this specific thread, printed it, and left it where only she would find it. Her throat felt dry. She looked around. No one stared openly. Everyone was locked into their screens with an exaggerated focus that did not look natural. She slid the paper under her notebook and sat down. Her hands shook now, harder than before. Whoever had done this was not just gossiping. They were building a story, piece by piece. One that might not care about the truth at all. A new question rose like a cold spike in her chest. Someone in that room had crossed a line, and they were not finished yet. Chapter 3, The Line Breaks. Lena reached the office early. Too early. 6:59 a.m. The halls were still dark. Only emergency lights cut through the shadows. She walked to her desk with steady steps, bracing for whatever waited. She pulled out the printed screenshot from the day before and looked at it again. The ink felt heavier this morning. She slipped it into her bag. She didn't know why she kept it. Maybe proof. Maybe a reminder of how far someone inside this place was willing to go. By 7:20, people started filing in. The air shifted from still to tight. She felt the glances hit her again, not curious anymore, not whispering, fixed, watching the edges of a story they thought they already understood. She sat straight in her chair. If she looked shaken, they would read it as guilt. If she looked calm, they would read it as arrogance. There was no winning posture. At 7:47, an email from HR arrived. Formal. Direct. She and Calder were scheduled for separate interviews at 9. Mandatory. She read the message twice. Her pulse thumped under her jaw. This was the stage where decisions formed. Not conclusions, not yet. But the shape of the outcome always started here. At 8:18, the senior manager who had been pushing for documentation, Mr. Haynes, walked past her desk. He didn't look at her. His shoulders were tight. His His steps were sharp. He entered a conference room with two HR reps and closed the door. The blinds stayed open. Through the glass, she could see him speaking fast, hands moving. The HR reps took notes without breaking eye contact. The office ran on a low electric hum. Phones, keyboards, the weight of waiting. Lena watched the clock roll toward 9. Every minute was a drag. When the message tone hit her inbox at 8:56, she stood without reading it. She already knew. HR wanted her now. The walk to the 9th floor felt longer than yesterday. Her reflection in the elevator doors looked drawn, her eyes lined with a quiet edge she didn't recognize. Miss Parker opened the door before Lena knocked. "Come in." The room was the same, neutral, cold in its calm. A different recorder sat on the table today, a thicker folder beside it. "Please sit," Parker said. Lena did. She kept her back straight. "This is your second interview," Parker said. "New information has been added to the review. Your cooperation is required." Lena nodded once. "We will begin." The red light on the recorder glowed. "Since yesterday, additional staff have provided statements," Parker said. "Some identify a pattern of direct access between you and Mr. Calder. Others state the opposite. There is no consensus." Lena stayed quiet. Parker turned a page. "We also received documentation from a senior manager. This includes internal message extracts and questions about bypass processes. I need to confirm whether you shared these messages or printed them." "I did not," Lena said. "Someone left a printed screenshot on my chair." Parker paused. "When?" "Yesterday, mid-afternoon." "Do you still have it?" "Yes. Please provide it to us before you leave this floor."
"I will."
Parker made a small mark in the folder. "Do you believe someone is trying to target you?"
"Yes."
"Why?" "Because the messages they printed do not anything inappropriate. But they chose them. They wanted it to look like something else." Parker watched her closely. "Do you know who left it?"
"No."
Another pause, another note. "Lena," Parker said. "At this stage, the concern has widened. We are also reviewing conduct from leadership. This includes Mr. Calder." Lena felt her spine tighten. "I need you to describe your working relationship with him as clearly as possible," Parker said. Lena spoke slowly. "He gives direct instructions. He expects fast turnaround. He trusts me with tasks he doesn't want slowed by the chain of approval."
"Why you?"
"I do not know." "Has he ever suggested the two of you keep anything secret?"
"No."
"Has he ever hinted that your job depends on doing things outside normal channels?"
"No."
"Has he ever acted in a way you would describe as personal?"
"No."
Parker listened to each answer with the same unreadable expression. "Thank you," she said. "That concludes your portion. We will speak with Mr. Calder next." The interview ended there. No clues, no comfort. Parker dismissed her with a nod. Lena walked out with her pulse beating hard in her throat. At 9:22, she returned to her desk and saw Calder himself entering the 9th floor conference wing. He carried nothing. No files. No phone. His expression was set in a flat line that gave nothing away. The office watched him walk. The silence that followed was deep. 10 minutes passed. 20. 40. People pretended to work, but the stillness betrayed them. The manager, Haynes, paced between his office and the printer, jaw clenched. Alicia typed with frantic motions. Justin avoided her desk entirely, choosing the long route around the floor each time he moved. At 10:17, Calder stepped out of HR with a different man beside him, someone from legal she had not seen before. They spoke in low voices. Calder didn't look toward the main office. He walked straight to his floor with his shoulders squared. The ripple in the office was instant. By 11, HR sent a floor-wide notice. Effective immediately, certain reporting structures were under review. Staff were to follow interim guidelines being distributed by department heads. It was the kind of message that signaled movement behind the scenes. Something shifting, something breaking. At 11:46, a witness was pulled into a side room. She was the one person Lena barely remembered speaking to. A junior analyst. Quiet. Careful. She came out 20 minutes later with her eyes lowered, avoiding everyone's gaze. She returned to her desk without touching her keyboard for several minutes. At 12:53, Lena received a message from Calder. "Need to speak. Conference room 3, now." She stared at the screen. Her first instinct was to ignore it. Her second was to run. Instead, she stood and walked to the room. Calder waited inside, leaning against the table with his arms crossed. "Close the door," he said. She did. Her hands were cold. He spoke with a hard edge she had not heard before. "Things are turning fast, faster than I expected." "What is happening?" she asked. He looked at her with steady eyes. "Someone wants this to land on both of us. They are pushing for a breach they can present as fact." "I did nothing wrong. I know." His voice carried weight. "But that does not stop the machine once it starts." She felt her chest tighten. "Why am I being pulled into this?" "Because you work closest to me," he said, "and because proximity makes for easy stories." Her pulse hit harder. "Is there something you haven't told me?" "There is tension with Haynes," he said. "Professional, long-running, he wants more control over contract flow. He believes I cut him out. He thinks your role is part of that. So he is using me to get to you. It looks that way." She swallowed. "What happens now?" "I told HR the truth," Calder said. "No misconduct, no boundary issues, no personal relationship, only work, fast work." She held his gaze. "Will they believe that?" "Belief is not the issue," he said. "Documentation is." He stepped back from the table. "You should prepare yourself," he said. "Restructuring is on the table. They want a reset. They want clean lines between roles." "Does that mean losing my job?" "No," he said. "Not that. But your role will not look the same." She felt the floor tilt under her. He walked past her and paused at the door. "This is not about you," he said, "but you will feel the cost." He left without waiting for her response. The afternoon dragged like cold iron. The office stayed locked in, watching silence. At 2:37 p.m., an all-staff notice landed in every inbox. "Review complete. Outcomes delivered individually." Lena's notice arrived at 2:41. She opened it with steady hands. The decision was sharp and clean. Effective immediately, her role would shift to a different department. She would no longer report to Calder. She would no longer work on executive contracts. Her desk would move floors. HR stated clearly there was no finding of misconduct, no breach, no violation, but the restructuring was required to restore clarity, reduce conflict, and ensure workplace stability. Her breath left her in one slow exhale. She read it again. The words held finality. At 3:12, another notice went out. The senior manager, Haynes, was being reassigned following an internal review. The language was careful, but clear enough. He had circulated internal communications without authorization. His actions had compromised the integrity of the review process. The office reacted in sharp, quiet waves. Chairs turned, conversations died. People glanced at each other with new calculations in their eyes. Lena sat still. She waited for the tremor in her hands to settle. It didn't. At 4, she packed her things into a small box. People watched, some curious, some guilty, some simply relieved they weren't the ones moving. No one spoke to her. She rode the elevator to her new floor. The doors opened to a quieter space, fewer desks, softer light. She set her box down on a clean surface that did not yet feel like hers. The day had carved new lines into her story. Not misconduct, not scandal, but a shift that carried weight.